He's not only wonderful, but then he shares himself. And then he shares all that he has. And you can partake on every aspect of Jesus Christ. Everything he offers is free. And it's for you. And it's for everybody here. If you're in sadness, he's the joy. And if you're in discouragement, he's the encouragement. There's a verse in Scripture that talks and says, I'm complete in Christ. Whatever you lack and need today, Jesus is the answer. And how wonderful he is. I want to talk about the change that he can bring to you. The change that he can bring to you. And what it means. And how you can relish in it every day. How you can enjoy it every single day. The change. But sometimes we hear it so many times. And maybe in a perspective I'll give it to you today. You might renew that excitement again in the change that God has brought to you. And may you have some determination and may you have some decision today that you'll say, I'll never, never go back. I'll never go back. I'll never go back how it was before I met Jesus. Now, some of you are saved when you were young and you don't even know the difference of living a life without Jesus Christ, or making decisions without the knowledge of his word, because you've been grown up in a church. Your mom and dad were a church member. They have brought you to church before you were even born. You were in the belly, and you were in church. A lot of times, you don't see the clear difference that somebody might have had that lived in this world for a long time without finding Jesus Christ. But you can find them here in this church today. I encourage anybody that grew up in church to go talk to somebody that may be a little bit older than you, find out, not to be snoopy, not to find, just to know some wicked things, and we don't glorify sin, but find somebody that have lived their life in the world, and it's not that good, and nothing's changed. It's still bad. It's still not good. And how they experience this change, and you can see it in their face, and you can see it in their life. You see there's some excitement about them, and they can't help themselves, but they want to tell other people about this great change. And some of us that might be experienced this change have lost the wonder of the change, and we kind of get embarrassed by some of these people that are like all over this change, like, calm down, man, we're already weird, and you're making it even weird. There are going to be people there on the booth that you're going to soul win with. And you're going to be like, wow, they are crazy. They say things I would never say. Well, find somebody that you can have comfort with and comfortable with and go out there. All right? You don't have to go with crazy people. No offense to those crazy people. I like to go with them because I'm one of them. I said some of the craziest things soul winning. But God gets the glory and God gets the answer. I'm not promoting being crazy, all right? But let's relish in this change. And the world is so influential to suppress our excitement and our gratitude to the Lord because of the bombardment of their philosophy and ideas in our world. And they're saying, this is now the new truth. You can be whatever you want to be. This month, unfortunately, is celebrating transgenderism. This is the month. This is their whole month. I love people. But that is not what God says to rejoice in and overjoy in. The Bible talks about these kind of behavior in a very negative light in the Word of God. And as a preacher, I cannot not say anything. I'm going to say it as nice as I possibly can. God made male and female, created he him. There's no other in between. And you can't change just because you want to change. Because God made it that way. And so as the world gets darker and we that are in the light gets shyer, I don't know what it is. Maybe we don't want to appear to be peculiar. We don't want to be odd. And maybe we don't want a lot of drama or controversy. But we're not the one bringing the controversy. We're just simply being honest people that believe the truth of the Word of God. We are sane in believing the truth. The farther you go away from the truth of the Word of God, the more insane some of your methodology and your mindset and your philosophy is. And so I'm encouraging us all Christians, please don't shy away from the truth. Please don't hide the candle of light that God has given you under a bushel. Please put it up somewhere. Let the world know you're saved. Relish in the difference that God made in your life. Because that difference, I can clearly see it in my own life. I clearly see the difference of what I was before I got saved and now that I'm saved. And I will never, if I have all the power and with God's help, I'll never go back. I never want to go back. I never want to go back in a home where drunks are there, and when they're drunk, they don't think properly, and they hurt each other physically and verbally. I never want to be in a place where they say they love each other, but they go home and they act like they hate each other. I never want to be in that place. What did that for us? It's Jesus Christ. It's the power that he has to change and transform a life. And by the way, when he saw us, we weren't beautiful. We were broken. We were destroyed. We were ruined. And then he came and fixed us to make us what we are today. And so I want to talk about some things alluding to the idea of that I've been changed. And the title of the message today is I Have Been Changed. And I'm going to relish in that. I'm going to shout it to the housetop. I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And my salvation brought Jesus to me and more. And the changes and the changes and the changes. Broken relationship are mended today. I talk to people I wouldn't think I would talk to anymore. But I'm talking to them today. Our relationship has been mended. People I did not want to be with because they irritated me. I don't want to be with them. They're a sigh of sore eyes. I don't want to be with them. But I enjoy their presence today. We do things together today because of the power of the change that God brings in a life. If you haven't experienced any of this powerful change that Christ can bring to you, I tell you, it's not hard. He's not far away. He's nigh to every one of us that want it. But maybe you're distracted by the world, and maybe you are influenced by other things, and it's making you shy to come to Jesus. But he's here. He's ready. He wants to give you that change. And I say this, if he can change me, he surely can change you. Well, I don't want to be changed. Well, you might not know about yourself as you think. The Bible tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Only time you find the phrase desperately wicked in the scripture. And it's referred to your heart. You know that your heart and you yourself can deceive yourself. And the Bible warns us, he that thinketh to himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And how even ourselves lies to us. But Jesus Christ does not. He tells us exactly the problem, and he tells us the solution, and he says, if you want it, I'll give it. And I've experienced in that change. If you have experienced this change that God has given to you, please do not stop telling others about it. Please do not be quiet about it. Please let them know, because God uses people like you to see others change. I've seen people change. I've seen for a family, one girl would only come to church, and that is very, very unfaithfully. And then eventually the mom shows up. Eventually the other brother shows up. And now I can tell you all of the family, the father and the six children, go to the church. And it's because of the transformation that happened in a little girl's life. She got Jesus in her life, and Jesus made the change. And the change that happens in our lives is not for us to relish in ourselves. It is to be shared. Let's share the change that Jesus can make. Let's go find somebody that we care about, a neighbor, a friend, a loved one, and let them know. My God is a God-changing God. He changes lives. He makes the difference. And he can make the difference in your life. As dark as it gets out there, it's no compare if we let the light shine. The light of the world is still Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 will be there this morning. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1, you're going to be sit for a while. So if you please stand up, we'll read this in honor of the word of God. If you're able bodily to stand, Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 1 to verse number 4. Thank you for all those that are visiting with us. I know the fast that are here, Pastor Seth's mom and dad. Thank you for being here, and others that are here, James, Brother James, and the family there, and some new people. So thank you for being here with us. Glad to have you. And we have missed some of you, and thank you for being here. So there's some new people here, and I'm excited to meet them after the service here. Romans chapter number 6, verses 1 to 4. What shall we say then? There's a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God answers, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death? Verse number 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Lord, bless, we ask. Guide me as I preach. Help the listeners. Holy Spirit, give us undistracted attention, focus attention to your word. Help me. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God promises that we should walk in newness of life. God gives us the ability to walk in newness of life. Some of you might have been living in the past or a time without Christ. You remember what it was like. You remember the chaos. You remember at times maybe the lack of peace, the lack of joy in that life, and how things seem to be hopeless. Am I going to live like this for the rest of? Am I going to live with broken relationship? Am I going to live with disappointments? I'm not saying when you get saved, everything just grandiosely changed on earth. But what happens is Christ comes into your life and helps you deal with the broken and corrupt world. That's what he promises. But then that promise is a seal in Ephesians 4. And then one day he's going to take us all to heaven, and then none of it is going to follow us. None of the sin that corrupts and destroys lives is going to follow us. None of it will follow us. Death will no longer be around. There'll be no more sorrow. All of it will happen because God promises. But in the meantime, while we're on earth, there is corruption, there is sin, and we're under the law of the sin-cursed world. If I jump from the steeple and go down, I don't care how much I love Jesus, I will still get hurt when I fall down on the ground. It's just because we live in a sin-cursed world. I might still get a call and say, you have terminal cancer. I can probably still get that call, even though I love Jesus and I walk with Jesus and I pray with Jesus. That's not what I'm prophesying. That's not what I'm preaching this morning. But what I'm saying is that he will give you hope beyond this life. Hope beyond this life. We buried somebody that know Jesus Christ. And his life on earth before he passed away was not one that we would want. He had pain in his back almost all the time. They had to sever nerves so that he cannot feel the pain. They severed the nerves so that the pain would not be felt. But it didn't help the back. And that will be done again as the nerves grow back together. That's what the life he was living. Could hardly stand, could hardly sit. There's no place that he could find comfort. And so on life, we still struggle. because we live in the sin-cursed world. But see, this Jesus Christ and the change that he gives to us will give us hope beyond this life. Because life here is temporary. And Jesus is all about eternal. He's an eternal God. His joy is going to be eternal. His sacrifice on the cross is going to be eternal to the point that you will see the marks on his hands. That he died for you, and that's going to be an eternal thing. You'll be reminded of that every time you see the Lord Jesus Christ. That at one point he came on earth and died for your sins. He's an eternal God. He's not about temporary things. He's an eternal God. And so our hope is beyond this life. But oh my, at times when you get to know Jesus Christ and you get into his life, he has a way of making life on earth like it's heaven on earth. He can give you what he promised, abundant life. And so may I ask you, don't wait until you get to heaven to enjoy it. You can enjoy life today. But you have to have Jesus come, the game changer. Jesus Christ will make the change in your life. Why does he have to make the change in your life? Because you're broken. You have missing parts. You're not all there to enjoy what he wants you to enjoy. Because sin has robbed us and has broken us and has taken away things from us. Because the sin-cursed world is just that. It's cruel. It's not fair. And it will rob from you, and it will take from you God's will in the beginning. You know that Adam and Eve should have never died? He never wanted them to die. But because sin got into the picture, it robbed from them. And so next time you blame God for something horrible, think again. Let's blame sin. For sin is the one that brought anything like that destructive in our lives. And that he has thwarted God's perfect will for us to have bliss and joy. And that's why he's called the Redeemer. You know what that means? That means he's going to make it right. He's going to come back and make it right. He's going to make it right. What was once right, sinless perfection by Adam and Eve, sin came in and destroyed all the potential of that. And then Christ says, I'm going to come to redeem them, bring them back to what I originally planned. And so I'm going to enjoy that. And God says he promises that that change you can enjoy now. And like I said earlier, there's some people I thought I would never talk again to, but we have good fellowship today. There's people that I thought would not be my friends, but they're my friends today. They greet me on my birthday today. And do you want a life like that? Well, it starts with Jesus Christ. A lot of us want a perfect life, but we don't want a perfect God. How can you have a perfect life if you don't have a perfect God? We want to do it all our way, and we want to live this life as the world promises, and they lie. They lie. As soon as they say it, they lie. And so may I say, think about it this way. And God promises to walk in newness of life. And what that brings is, when we have Jesus Christ and we accepted him as our Savior, now we have the ability to live in the divine nature that was not accessible to us. It was a change that only God could bring, no human could bring, no resolution could bring. On our own strength, it's all God. And that gave us point number one this morning, and that will change our allegiance. So if you are saved today and you know Jesus Christ, and if you have been changed, you know this to be true. Your allegiance have changed. What I mean by that, well, look at John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 and verse number 44. Your allegiance have changed. Now, Christian, there's a possibility we backslide. There's a possibility we go back to where it was before Christ came. There's a truth of Scripture that says that. It's not that you lost your salvation. It's but that you fall from the grace of God and you go back and live the life that we should not want to live anymore. But that sometimes does that to us. And so if you are that and your allegiance is not only to God, but you have allegiance to this world, come back. Come back and belong to God where you, and he's the only one that needs your allegiance. John 8:44, it says, you are of your father the devil. and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. At one point, we were likened and referenced in family with the devil. We were the child of the devil, according to the scripture. But when Christ came in, he gives us a spirit of adoption, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. No longer should we have any allegiance to our former father, because now we've been bought and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are now the sons of God and the daughters of God. And look at some verses here in Romans. You're there, and if you continue to verse number 5, I'll read it to you, to verse 11. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, with the same idea, with the same thought, with the same truth, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so may I say, if you're saved today, the change is that I'm no longer paying allegiance to the devil. I have owe him nothing. I have nothing to do with him. I have no part with him. I belong to Jesus Christ, and my allegiance is to Christ and his word and his people. And so may I say, if you're saved today, relish in that. You cannot play both sides, for one is an enemy of God. And if you say you belong to God, why are you playing with the devil? Why are you playing with the devil? Why are you still doing what the devil does when you have no more allegiance to him? You have cut it off, and you have now moved into with Jesus Christ. I'm a dual citizen. I'm an American citizen and a Filipino citizen. My dual citizen came by birth. At my birth, my father is an American citizen. And at birth, my mother was a Filipino citizen. And so when they looked at my paperwork, they say, you're both the same citizen at the same time by law. I did not have to disallow my American citizen to be a Filipino citizen. At birth, at my birth certificate, it says mother, the name, citizenship, the place. And so by birth, I'm automatically both citizens. Now, what some people have to do is they come to our country, let's say they're a Filipino, and they come to our country, and they have to go to our laws, and what they have to do in order to be an American citizen is they have to denounce their Filipino citizenship. They have to say, I'm no longer paying allegiance, and they say, it's a quote, they have a word, I can show it to you, and they say, we're no longer paying allegiance to that country, now we're going to pay allegiance to this country, now this is our country. And that's what they do. Anybody that gets naturalized, that coming from another place, another citizenship, and come to our country and become an American citizen, they denounce their citizens formerly. And so may I say to you in Jesus Christ, we are citizens of heaven. You owe the devil nothing to live and serve sin in your mortal body. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have to sin anymore. You don't have any need to sin. What other things change should be in our life with Jesus Christ? The other thing that should change in point number 2 is that our attitudes should change. Not only our allegiance, but our attitude should change. Our attitude should change. We should hate sin as God hates sin. That should change in our life. All right? That should change in our life. Look at this in Romans chapter number 6, and it continues verse number 12. And to verse number 15, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. and the wants of it, and the desires of it, and its attitude, and its preferences. All right? Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 15, and see how the world makes a mess of that verse and say, well, I'm under grace. I don't have to do what the Bible says because I've been forgiven. No, it's because you've been forgiven, you have now more utmost things to do with the word of God. You have to do it more because you've been given grace. You've been given grace. That's why it doesn't make sense if we are now saved and we're under grace. That means we have no more things that we worry about what God tells us to do. It's just all forgiven. You can just do whatever you want. That is so against Scripture, because when Jesus talked about the Ten Commandments in Matthew chapter number 5, he made it more than what it was in Exodus 20. He said these words. Have you know? The Bible talks about thou shalt not commit murder, thou shalt not kill. Well, I tell you, if you have hatred in your heart for a brother, you have murdered that brother. Does that make it bigger and more responsibility now than it was before? Then it talks about thou shalt not commit adultery. And what did Jesus say in that passage in Matthew 5? It said, if you have looked upon a woman with lust in your heart for that woman, you have already committed adultery in your heart already. And so don't fall for this when the world tells you, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. If you're under grace, then you have more responsibility because you've been given more. You've been given. We're not working for our salvation, guys. It is freely given. And so as it is freely given, we need to work our salvation more. We have to do more because it's been given to us already. It's been given to us already. A lot of times when you're given stuff, you appreciate it less. It's just human culture and human nature in us. When you're given something sometimes, a lot of times, not everybody's this way, but you care for it less than if you work for it. Right? But it's sad that it's that way. But in Jesus Christ, he's saying to us, you don't have to earn your salvation because there's no way you can earn it in the first place. But since I gave it to you as a gift, now work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's just an awesome gift. Do you know how awesome the gift that you have received if you have Jesus Christ in your life? Because that's a change nobody can provide for you, but he gave it to you absolutely free. And your attitude should be, wow, wow, wow. Well, I'm going to love people. I've never loved them before. I'm going to love them now because this is an amazing gift I've got. Wow. Well, God, what, you want me to go to church? What, 3 times a week only? What, an hour at a time? Oh, yeah, I'll go. I've never been there before. I've never gone to church all the time. I'll go for 3 hours a week. I could do that. I can sneak in all my other hobbies and all the other things I have to do, and I can be at church for 3 hours a week. At least that's what the Independent Baptist wants. Traditionally, we meet in the morning, and we meet in the evening on Sunday, and we meet on Wednesday. Come on, that's a bargain. 3 hours? Come on, guys. Come. Come. Give the Lord that time. Ephesians 5 and verse number 8 to verse number 13, moving right along. For you are sometimes darkness. Remember those days? Man, I remember. I don't know if you ever heard the story of Mount Pinatubo blowing up. That was in 1991. I was 6 years old. I'll never forget it the day of my life. It's a volcano that blew up in Olongapo City where I was born. And I grew up until after that, I had to move because it devastated the whole city. I had people I knew that was buried alive by ash and sand and rocks the next day. I remember it was 12 noon. In the Philippines, it's a sunny place. But it was pitch dark because of the storm. Accompanying that eruption was one of our biggest hurricanes that ever took place in that area. And so it made it visibly impossible to see. Sand was whipping. I remember putting a towel over my head. And we're going like this, going to a place. And if you know the Philippines, they're made out of light materials. They're not structurally sound. And big boulder rocks are falling from the sky. And I was 6 years old. I didn't know Jesus Christ. You know what was coming in my head? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen when I die? And from that point on, as a little boy, I asked, God, if there's a truth somewhere to know, can you please let me know? I prayed it almost repetitiously every night. And then, unbeknownst to me, there was people praying for me. My dad got saved already. They're sending chit tracks. And when I got here, 12 years old, they were ready. They brought two Filipino guys at the house, and they opened the Word of God. And God says, ye shall know. 1 John 5:13. And I said, man, God pays attention to a little kid like me. And when I saw that, there's no way I would not accept that. There's no way I would not have accepted that truth. Because I've been praying about it. And that changed my life. Got saved. I'm telling you guys. Sometimes we were in darkness. And you know, there's never that fear ever again in my life. I doubted a little bit my salvation in my teen years. And then I found a verse that says, to this truth that it says to me, there's nothing that I did to earn it. One in the world, there's nothing I can do to lose it. And so that truth sat upon my heart. And around 15, 14, I never struggled again with assurance. And to this day, if you ask me point blank, if you die, Pastor Chris, where'd you go? I would happily tell you, I'm going to go with my Jesus. I'm going to be in heaven. If you ask me when I was a little boy, I would be deadly afraid. And now I sleep good. I have no worries. For ye were sometimes darkness. Verse 8. But now are ye light in the Lord. What a comparison. What a difference. What a change. And so after that, just do whatever you want. That's what the Bible says, right? Look at verse 8 again if you're looking at your Bible. Ephesians 5 verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Do whatever you want, whatever feels good. Commit to as little as you need to. Just be about your business. Just love yourself for the rest of your life. And it tells us a command, an emphatic command. It says, walk as children of light. That's what it says. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever that make manifest is light. Sin did not mean what it was when I was lost because everybody was doing it. It didn't have the same attitude in my heart. But when I got saved and the Holy Ghost come upon me, and if you experience this change that I'm talking about, you know that there's a change of attitude in your heart. Because when you sin now that you're saved, you have a witness in your heart that smites you. And you can't get over that little thing that you did. And it won't let you go to sleep. You have to go tell that person that you did something wrong. You can't lie. You can't mislead them. You can't embellish the story. Because there's a Holy Ghost that says to you, that is the devil's work. You're now my child. And I'm the truth. And you must speak that truth. And I'm glad I'm on this side. I'm glad I'm on this side. My attitude has changed. Number three, my allegiance has changed, my attitude has changed, and thus my actions have changed. Look at verse 16 of Romans chapter number 6, verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, that you have obeyed from that heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. It was a teaching. It was a wrong teaching. It was a lie. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Verse number 19, I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But praise the Lord. God be thanked. I don't have to serve sin today. Because sin is a jerk. Sin is a jerk. It promises you all of this, but it only gives you that of what it promises. Yes, there is pleasure in sin, but they don't tell you in the small print, it's only for a season. Yeah, you can enjoy this. You can smoke and be cool. You can be the cowboy in Marlboro. I tried some when I was young, and I'm ashamed to say that. But praise the Lord, I coughed my lungs out, and I said, I ain't putting that in my mouth ever again. But they don't tell you emphysema. They don't tell you of shortness of breath. They don't tell you of an oxygen tank you have to put up your nose and carry around and lug around. And for crying out loud, it gives you bad breath. So it provides you, well, you're going to be cool. You're going to be cool. All the ladies are going to be all over you because you're puffing it. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. There's no gorgeous woman walking around with guys that are big pot belly and smoking away. They made them look like cowboys. I know what made it look like. I'm not trying to, I know that's a struggle for some of you, and some of you are working on it. I don't make in light of that struggle. And you know how full well it's got you captivated. And it's not helping you. It's not making you any better as a Christian. And so, my friends, I'm telling you, I'm glad I've changed. The things that I get to do now are benefiting me. The things that sin wants me to do are hurting me and robbing from me and swindling me. But now that I do, when God says, hey, if I give a little to missions, he said he'll reward me. He said if I give, he said he'll open up the windows of heaven. And guess what? I've experienced that. I'm telling you, God is true. He's not a liar. What he says, and I do it a little bit, he says, I'll bless it 100-fold. I'll bless it 30-fold. I'll bless it 7 times. Sin never did that for me. Sin says, this is what I'm going to give you. But sin gives you that much. God says, if you do this, I'll give you that. And his hands is so far, I can't even see the end of it. So Christian, God has changed us. Why are we hiding from the change? Why are we ashamed of the change that God made? I don't have to be, my allegiance is to Jesus. No, I'm not with the devil no more. My attitude has changed. And my action is now has changed. Now, do I fall? Yes, I do. But with what remorse? With what sorrow of the heart? With what agony? And I say, God, please, help me. Help me never to do it again. Help me to ever do it again. Number 4. And last. Not only has changed my allegiance, not only changed my attitude, not has only changed my action, but it has changed my assets. Before Jesus, I was doomed. Have you ever felt doomed? No hope? This is the best you're going to have. I was doomed. The Bible says that I've experienced the damnation of God. The wrath of God was abiding upon me. I had no escape. That's what I was looking forward to. Eternity. Away from God and his blessings and his presence. But then Jesus came. And he took it all away. And he promised me the world and more. He said, in this life, you shall have houses, land. There's a verse in Scripture that tells us that. And then not only in this life, he said, but in the life to come. The life worth living is a life in Jesus Christ. I would never trade it for $1 million. I would never trade it for $1 billion. I'll not trade it for $1 trillion. I won't trade it for how much America owes China or whatever they owe. I would not trade it for $31 trillion. You can have that. I have the change of life. And guess what? I'm going to relish in it. I'm going to joy all over it. I'm going to let the world's storm come, and I'm going to hold on to this dear Jesus that says, come on, hold on. I'm going to fly you through this. Just hold on. It's going to be painful. You're going to feel the wind hitting you in the face. It's going to be hard. You're going to feel some hurt in this life. But if you are hung on to me, I'm going to hang on to you, more importantly than me hanging on to him, because I can let go at any time. But he won't. He said that in John 10, he has me in his hand. And not only he, the Father now has me in his hands, but I am just doubly held. I'm hugged twice. You want to be hugged twice? Once hugged is good, but twice hugged is really good. I'm hugged twice. I'm held so secure that I can't even let go myself. And you know what? Some of you are so pressured. You're so stressed out about life. And I understand it's stressful. Because New York wants to have everything electric. I don't have money for an electric car in 2020, 30. What are they smoking? Oh, I know what they're smoking. They're at the reservation. That's what they're doing. You got it. That's what they're doing. I'll read you the last part and we're done today. Romans 6, 21 to 23. What fruit have ye then in those things? With wherefore you're now ashamed. Guys, my life before Jesus, in the sin that I was a participant of, I wish I don't remember any of it. That's what I want. That's when I look back, there's nothing that I say, whoa, when I did that, no. Any of the things that I've gotten by being a sinner, to me is worth nothing. I don't want it. I don't want it at all. Why? For the end of those things is death. That's what I'm going to get. The life without Christ, the life before the change he made, what I was going to get, the asset, the thing that I was going to hold on to was one thing, death. That's what it promised me. Guys, if you want to be rich, go be rich. Work hard. Strategize. Plan. Get what you need to get. And doing all of that, just don't forget Jesus Christ. But if you do all of that and you forget Jesus Christ, you're most men most miserable. Because God says in Mark 8:36, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what shall a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Guys, I want you to all be, all my friends, I want to be millionaires, billionaires, and trillionaires. I want you to be all that. You know why? Because then you have to worry about keeping the money, and I get to enjoy the money that you treat me for golf. You're going to help me buy a car. I need a gun. You're going to give me a gun. I'm just going to mooch on you. You worry about all the problems. You worry about all the banks and all the insurances and all the lawyers need to have. And I'm just like, hey, you know, man, it'd be nice to have steak, you know. We will drive in your limousine. We'll drive in your Cadillac. I don't have to polish it. I don't have to worry about scratches. I don't have to worry about dents. You take care of all of that. I just get to ride on it. You can have it. All my friends, I want you to be millionaires. I want you to be billionaires and trillionaires. And just share it a little bit with me. That's all I want. Not the responsibility, but all of the benefits. That's what I want. But look at verse 22. But now, that was the result of that life before Jesus came and changed it. Verse 22, but now, whoo, praise the Lord for that. Now, being made free from sin and became servant to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end. And it's not the end. I like what it says, the end, but it's an oxymoron because it's not an end. How can everlasting life end? It does not end. I'm telling you, when God says, I'm going to give you this, you can't see his hands because it's so much. It's so much. It's so much you can have with Jesus. You can't even see his hand. He says, to the end, what he's trying to say is, there's no end. At my right hands, there are pleasures forevermore. Why are we settling and going back in a shame of the life that God gave us? And we're trying to, I don't want anybody to know I'm a Christian. You don't need to know that I'm blessed. I have peace. I don't have to worry about hell, but don't talk. I don't want you to talk about it. You're letting the world intimidate you? They don't know what's their left hand from their right hand. They don't even know how to go to the bath. They don't know where the bathroom is. You know what they're telling you? They have lost their passing. That if a boy wants to be a girl that moment, and I can't even say it, all the pronouns they want you to change. And that particular person is going to now want to use the girl's bathroom. You're going to let them be. What? What? What's the urinal going to be? What's the urinal going to be good for? If that's going to be all, what we're going to do? They don't even think about all those crazy things because it's not about logic. Because they're away from the truth of this book. They're insane. And you're afraid of them? You have the light. You have the truth. And you don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be mean. But you can stand and say, I have confidence in my God. This is what my God says. Guys, what the Bible tells us makes a lot more sense than what they're putting out there. What they're putting out there does not make sense. And we're ashamed and we're hiding from our responsibility to let the light shine. You have your fruit of holiness in verse 23, the famous verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John 5:24, we're done. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Has Jesus changed you in this way? Have Jesus been your Savior? And if you have Jesus as your Savior and you're struggling, you might be contemplating on living both lives. Just disregard the life without Christ and just throw it all away. And be so given to the new life in Christ. Christian, why are we playing around with the world? Why are we trying to be as close as we possibly can with them? They're our enemy. The world's way is our enemy. Not the people. The world's way. The philosophy. The agenda. The teaching. The mindset. It is not the mind of Christ. Get away from that if you're a Christian. If you're lost today, you can't experience this change without coming to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you are, you're going to have a new allegiance. Whoo! I don't owe the devil nothing. You have a new attitude. And that results in a new action in your life. I get to do things I never would do before. And the dividends and the interest of this action far outweighs all the hard work involved in doing what God says. His burden is easy. His burden is light. And his yoke is easy. It's not grievous. And what a dividend. I can't even see his hand when he says, this is what I have. And I'm like, whoa, that's good. I want that. And the asset that he gives me. I want to walk on streets of gold. I don't have to be burning up forever in the lake of fire. If you're lost today, I encourage you, please, trust Jesus Christ. It's worth it. He'll change you. You'll experience what I talked about. If you're saved today, why are you ashamed of it? For I am not ashamed, Romans, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My friends, that great truth is given to all men. And the power of this change only comes from that. Why are you ashamed of it? Relish in the difference that God made. Don't hide from it. Don't hide from it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. As Pastor Cole's coming up and help us here with the invitation. Maybe you want to come. Maybe you want to talk about Jesus. Maybe you don't know him as your Savior. I pray that you make that decision today. And as we go into the invitation, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Cole. I pray that you respond as God leads in Jesus' name.